I think we're recording. Good evening, Mr. Chris. How are you tonight?
Good, brother. How you doing, James?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Did you get your latest copy of Roadrunner?
I did. Actually, I was cruising through the 2021 KTM 890 because, you know, we've been talking about how much I want to get an adventure bike, right? Mm-hmm. I saw they had an article on the, you know, I love the magazine, by the way, but I was cruising through and the thing is, I'm really interested. I'm looking at the BMW 850. I'm looking at the KTM 890. They had this article in here, so I'm reading it. Mm-hmm. And opposite the page, they got the Progressive ad with the Motard dude.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. My wife and I were watching TV. This stupid commercial came on, and the Motard's in the gym, and he's on the treadmill. And the guy next to him, you know, is making a comment, and he just looks at him like with disdain. And here's my thought. Progressive's trying to sell motorcycle insurance to people that ride motorcycles.
Yeah.
Why would you make Progressive? Why would you make fun of and almost make a caricature out of the fact that we love our bikes so much that now you've made it funny, like, ha ha, look, half man, half motorcycle. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's just over the top with me. And it just rubbed me the wrong way. I never did like that commercial, but it was sad to see it was right opposite the page of the 890 that I was really interested in reading. It was so, it was like, come on, man, you just wrecked my moment.
Don't let the Motard disrupt the feelings of the KTM.
Right. Throw that crap back here with, you know, look, they're in the back of the book. You got all these little
like 8-9 pages of
you got like pages. All these things about, okay, I'm crossing the precipice. And by the way, the magazine, this February edition is it's KTM. In the back, traveling new roads, crossing the precipice on a Super Duke GT. And then earlier in the book, it's the Duke. And then earlier, it's the 890 Adventure. It's like KTM, KTM, KTM month. So for all you KTM, get that February Roadrunner magazine. It's all about KTM.
Hey, if KTM wants to throw money our way, I mean, I'm happy to say, ride a KTM. It's a great bike. I KTM, own one.
I will say this. I know you're a fan of the orange. Wrapped your bike, your GT, in orange.
I did.
Right? I even posted about it on Facebook tonight. One of the guys was thinking about doing a wrap, and I said, hey, buddy, mine wrapped his. You know, here's a pic of it, right?
Yeah, it's the KTM and, BMW.
And it's orange. It's
safety cone orange.
It's KTM orange.
It is. It is safety. It is KTM orange. And I didn't really realize that until I was done. I like the orange is my favorite color. I mean, shit, I'm wearing an orange shirt right now. It's my favorite color. When I looked at all of the different wraps, the color that grabbed me, and it was a muted color, like the matte color, and it was a burnt orange, and I really liked it. And it, buyer beware type of thing, I guess. When I looked at it online, it looked more like Texas, you know, Hook'em Horns, that orange. It was It was more of a darker orange, or the new Corvette orange, where it's that burnt orange. McLaren's got a really beautiful burnt orange,
right?
And that's what I thought I was getting. When I got it, it was a little bit brighter than that, a little bit of a lighter color, but I was like, hell with it, it's orange, right? So I put it on the bike, I get it all on there, and I stand back and I'm looking at it, and I was like, shit, I created a KTM BMW. It's straight up KTM orange. When I park it next to my KTM, they are the same exact color. Because I have the 2004 400 EXE KTM, and they're the same.
So does that make it a Bi-Duke or a Doomer?
Thanks, Boomer.
It's not a Beamer, and it's not a Duke. It's a Doomer.
I don't need my son to be hearing that, because he constantly is like, okay, Boomer. I'm like, I'm not a Boomer.
Yeah, first of all, let me just remind you of the fact that your little snotty nose is online because of us Boomers. You know, we did. I tell my kids, it's like, we forgot more about the internet than you guys will ever know, because you're just using it like it's a luxury. Right? Like, if you ask some kid now, hey, go build me a network, they'd be like, yeah, Dad, you go down to Lowe's and you get you some Google Nest and you plug them in and boom, there you go. You got a network. And it's like, hey,
none of those kids know what a Radio Shack is. That's all I got to say.
But anyway, it was just a pet peeve of mine, the progressive thing. It took a great article.
But it is a great magazine. It really is a great magazine.
Yeah, I love Roadrunner. I've been a subscriber for a long time.
Yeah. I think I actually bought you a subscription for that for Christmas one year. And it was funny because you actually bought me Cycle that year for a subscription. And it was just funny that we both got each other motorcycle subscriptions and turned each other around to each other's motorcycle magazines. And that was, it's got to be around 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been a while because I have a stack of them, like my favorite issues, which is pretty much all of them. My wife keeps asking me, like, when are you going to rotate these out? And I go, when they're not good to me.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, when's it going to be not good to you? And I said, well, like, never. Because in the back, you know, a lot of guys don't use map cases and stuff anymore. But I love the fact that they give you the 4 map case cover, you know, for your tank bag. Yep. You know, your maps and your clover leaves, and then you read the article and it talks about where to stop and eat and stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and you can go online and pull down all that information from their website too.
Absolutely. And if you're a subscriber, you can even get the GPX files and put the route in. And you were talking about New England, and lo and behold, here they've got a Pennsylvania and New York ride in here. So there you go. Well,
the ride that I did with Ty and our wives. That was the ride. I went from here up to Chicago. We did our meeting up in Chicago with our regular day jobs. And then I met Ty down in St. Louis, and we rode over to Colorado, and our wives flew in there. And then we rode through the Rockies, and we did all of Utah, and we did all of the state parks down in Utah. Our national parks. You know, that was all Roadrunner magazine. There was an article in there about all the national parks in southern Utah, and I just fell in love with it. I was like, I have to go. We have to go.
Yeah.
And I threw it at Ty, and he was like, hell yeah, let's do it. And that was our first major trip that he had ever been on cross country, especially, and, you know, bringing our wives. And, you know, we did the Escalante, the Route 12, every, you know, the routes that we always talk about.
Yeah.
That was the first time that we had ever ridden that. And it's all because of Roadrunner. So, yeah. And yeah, no, they're not paying us. We wish they were.
Yeah. No, I got hooked on Southern Utah when I was out in Vegas for work, rented a bike with a couple of guys. You know, Holston, his dad. We rode up to Zion. Briggs was with us. He did something uncharacteristic. He takes his K1300 BMW body and he puts it on a Harley Davidson.
Oh God.
Sporty. He said, we got to the hour and a half down the road. He's like, he chimes in on the center. He says, hey man, I got to stop and get some gas. I was like, bro, we just got started. He goes, this thing's got a peanut tank on it. And so we stop and he goes, is there any way to adjust the suspension? And I was like, yeah, you can adjust the shock a little bit in the back with a little spanner wrench. And we ride over to get one because he said, I think I'm having some like kidney failure. He says, it's like, kunk, kunk. And if you know Briggs, he's not a big guy. So, it was pretty much as soft as it would go. And it was killing him. And he couldn't ride it like he was used to riding his BMW sport touring bike. But anyway, we went up to Zion. And I was like blown away, just absolutely blown away with how beautiful it was. Yeah. And so I started doing some homework. And then Terry, my cousin, and I, we went out and we hit, went to bed in Colorado Springs, got up out of bed, rode to the top of Pikes Peak and went to bed in Moab, Utah. And then we hit Canyonlands Arches, Southern Canyonlands, down into Monument Valley, went over to Bryce, and then we caught 12 going back toward Torrey and Route 12. I mean, we always talk about this. You like Beartooth Pass better than you like 12? You like 12 up in Idaho, Lolo Pass? I mean, that Bryce Canyon to Torrey, Utah ride on 12 is epic. I mean, you get the grass, the rolling grasslands. You've got the aspen forests, so you get some elevation.
Everything.
And by the way, you've got, it's free range cattle. So you never know what's around the corner we ran into some cows on the run, didn't run into them, like physically ran it. We came across some cattle. And then you drop, and depending on which way you're going, right? We were going, first time we went Torrey to Bryce, second time Bryce to Torrey. So I've ridden it both directions. And, but you get in, you get up to that one spot where it's literally the width of the road and no shoulder. And when you look left or right, you just see sky. You're on this precipice, you know, riding on this little piece of road. Absolutely stunning. Then you get down into the Rocky Canyons, and you make that switchback climb up out of the rocks. And then it's that orange and white, looks like a dreamsicle, you know, the rocks going out to where, and the closer you get to Bryce Canyon, the better.
And that's where that Kiva Cafe is, in that right here, in that, right in that area.
Right in that canyon I was talking about. So anyway, that's kind of what got me hooked on Utah. And then, you know, what's fun about Utah is from Pennsylvania, there's a lot of cool stuff between, you know, there and here. And so I've gone north and come down south into Utah. I've gone south and gone north. I mean, it's just great. Great riding out there. I think it was one of those trips. No, it was the conversation we were having about San Bernardino and the San Bernardino National Forest and that beautiful Twisties road that runs through there.
Oh, it was so windy.
It was, I was trying to remember how many years ago that was, but I remember we all got to Vegas. We got our bikes. We took off on rentals. We got caught in some crosswinds and we came on the other side, on the San Bernardino side of the mountains, and the winds were just brutal. And I don't know what, if somebody was moving, new construction, tear out, I don't know, but two befores. So you had the two before.
Well, no, I had a 2x4 in Arizona after Hoover Dam when I was on that Indian.
Oh, that's right. That was on the Indian. Yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about that, I think, in episode 2.
Yeah. The carpet was where I hit that piece of carpet. Briggs and I were talking on the Sinus and I looked over and I looked back. The road was clear. I looked over, I looked back. There's this big hunk of carpet. Luckily I'm still here to talk about it. But anyway, Yvonne got his rental bike and met us late. He was saying, oh my God, the winds. It was funny because we were talking about that ride up through San Bernardino the other day, and it reminded me of that trip and talking about close encounters of, you know, stuff you've hit, almost hit.
Yeah.
You know, the pheasant that I hit in South Dakota. We told the story about the raven down in Tennessee.
Now see, I got a bird in South Dakota too. I still have the crack. Yeah. I have on the 1600, I have that light cover that goes over the front of my light, which if you own a 1600 or any other motorcycle, if you can get some kind of protective cover to protect your front light, I believe the front light on this is $1,200. Because I was reading in one of the forums that we're in where somebody lost the light and they have to replace the light, it's $1,200 for that front light or $100 for that light cover. So if you can get some kind of safety plastic for it,
right,
it's always worth, you know, looking at. So yeah, my safety plastic actually has a little bird's eye crack in it because we hit quail, and that was we had just finished up at Devil's Tower, and we were coming through. We came across the Wyoming South Dakota border into the Black Hills, and caught that coming around it in one of the twisties with my wife on the back. She's like, "Did you just hit a bird?" I was like, "Yes, I just hit a bird."
No, the bird hit me.
It got in my way.
He got in my way. No, but we've had close encounters of all kinds. Close encounters, almost taken out by a deer. I got lucky. He stopped. But, you know, it was pouring down rain. I was riding with a buddy of mine that lives up in Hershey. We were out in, we were going toward Little Bighorn is where we were going. And we were kind of catty corner coming down through the state. It got dark. It started pouring down rain. I don't know what the deal is with me and rain, but this was one of those rainstorms where you slow down, you got your flashers on because you're afraid nobody can see you.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of rain. And I see this deer run across the median. And again, with the old pursuit angle, I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well. Just as I got to him, he stopped right at the edge of the road. And literally, you see my microphone here?
Mm-hmm.
That's his nose. This is my head as I went by. And that was one of those where you're glad to get to the hotel. You can change your shorts.
Reminds me of when I think it was our last desert ride. It was me, you, Todd, who, just so everybody understands, Todd will be joining us on this call or on this podcast here in a couple weeks. And he's going to be doing a monthly little portion with us. But Todd rides with us all the time. Yvonne, I think Ty was with us that year, and Rosie. There was a bunch of us. Maybe even Borland was with us on that trip. It was a gaggle.
Death Valley?
Yeah, it was a gaggle.
Talking about the coyote?
Yep. And we were testing the tires and engine to make sure that they could run at red line speeds in six gear wide open, going down that stretch of just, you know, that ribbon of highway where you just see it go way off into the horizon. That's the kind of road that we were on. It's, you know, it was very barren, all rock. There's no trees to the left, to the right. The sun was behind us. There was no wind. The temperatures were perfect. There was absolutely nobody on the road. The roads were clear. There was no gravel, no sand, nothing blowing across the road. And it was just an opportune time to look as we sort of came down this hill that we knew that for the next 10 miles, there was nothing else on this road, specifically police. And we got at it. And
well, it's funny
because I was like number three, because a couple people passed me and I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing now. We're just going to run it until we can't go any faster. And I think there was the GS1200 or two GS1200s in front of me. I was on
Triumph Trophy.
The Trophy. And you had did you have a Trophy as well?
Exact same bike.
Yeah, that's right. So we both had Trophies and we were keeping up with them pretty good. And it's very surreal. It's hard to explain. And maybe if some of the listeners have been in this type of situation before, you will, you know, sort of understand what I'm saying. I saw the dog-like figure as I approached it, and we had to be doing 120, 130. We were clipping along really good. And it just seemed like time slowed down a lot. And that coyote was actually, his paws were on the yellow line in the middle of the road and just watching us as we all.
So, yeah, let me tell you my version of that, where my perspective, I was riding sweeper on that ride.
Okay.
I had two Harleys in front of me and then you and then Yvonne and Todd.
Yep.
And I saw Todd take off like he always does. I saw Yvonne take off and then I saw you leaning in. And the two guys on the Harleys were just cruising. And I'm like, hey, fellas, you know, what are we doing here? So finally, after a while, I get impatient. I just take off.
Yeah.
I remember passing those two guys. I remember coming up on you and you said to me on the Senna headset, isn't that the same bike as mine? Why are you passing me? And I'm thinking to myself, I got him by 60 pounds. And I'm on the same bike and I'm pulling away from him. Right. And I don't know, good tune, good gas. I don't know. But so the one guy I had left after I got Yvonne was Todd. And we go down the hill. We start making that left-hand sweeper. Now the coyote was a little farther off when I come through there and he was running, making dust trails. He was he was booking it. And again, with the pursuit angle, I'm off, you know, one cheek off the seat, hard lean going around this turn. And I looked down. I don't even want to think about how fast I was going. And I thought to myself, you better stop, dog. This coyote better stop. I mean, or we're both done, right?
Yeah, there's no slowing down.
He gets to the edge of the asphalt and he literally like it was like a movie. It was like twang. He just locked up right at the edge of the road. Boom, I go by. I holler back, coyote. That's all I had time to say. I come up out of the turn, and then you get this little rolling. Remember that? You had that little rolling. But you could still see for 10 miles straight after that bend. Anyway, I could see one guy, and he's leaned back like this, and he's just cruising along. And all of a sudden, I see him look in the mirror again and lean forward, and he starts getting it. And I was like, I've already got a full head of steam. He's got to come back up to speed. now's my chance. And I got up to him even, and I saw him lean back, roll back off the throttle. That little Triumph Trophy impressed me.
It wasn't a bad bike at all. I mean, of course, it's no 1600, but.
Well, you know what? Do you remember the biggest complaint we had about the bike? The freaking luggage. I said, everybody talks about the luggage and they don't like the clamshell luggage on the BMW. Well, once you get used to it, you can't live without it, right? I've even got a divider that Tammy sewed for me to cut the bag in half. So when you open the clamshell,
Batman things or whatever,
you don't lose all your crap, right?
Yep.
And, but I remember the luggage, the way it clipped together. It just kind of was, I don't want to say cheap because that I don't mean to. It was a great bike. I love the bike, but it was those little nitinoid fit and finish things that you just go, okay, this is why this bike is this and this bike is this. And it's the things that you travel with, the luggage. I mean, that's what you notice when you're taking a road trip for 4 days. And it was amazing to me, though, the fact that that little bike could roll. I mean, that bike could roll. That was a good trip. It reminds me of another trip. We weren't in Death Valley. We were actually full on in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And we revisited do you remember the infamous Circle K?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Had the bike break down for 3 times. We were crossing the Salt River and we stopped. This is the 3rd time the bike had broken down on me. Everybody pulls away except one guy, good old James. He waits. He's behind me. He sees I'm struggling. We stop. We get off. I said, I'm going to have to let this thing cool off or something because it's not running worth. I got to call these guys and get a new bike. And you were running your GoPro and you said, did you buy the advanced insurance on that? And I said, yeah. What's the deductible? Like if you completely total the bike. And I was like, I think it's like $500. You said, I'll split it with you. And you just shove it, just roll it up to speed and just shove it off this cliff. And he says, we'll videotape that thing bouncing down the canyon wall. And I'll make you famous. And I'm like, it sounds great. I'm all in. And then you said, I'll make you famous. And it rained. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't want to be on YouTube on camera chucking this bike off a cliff. So we ride the thing to Circle K, call the rental place. They came and dropped off a new bike 4 hours later.
Yeah.
And that's where that they dubbed me. Yeah,
we had 2 bikes on that trip go down.
Giles lost his clutch first.
Yep.
And then that happened to me. But it was when we were on our 2nd trip through a different group of guys, mm-hmm. and we were coming back through, we were going the other direction on the salt.
Yeah.
And we crossed that salt canyon going the other direction where you climb up the twisties and then you drop down the other side. And it's like a straight line with a couple of humps for, I don't know, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And we get down to the fuel stop. And Yvonne couldn't get the tank open. Remember that? He couldn't get the key out of the tank. He was riding that. It wasn't a Ducati. It was an Aprilia.
No, he had an Aprilia. No, the key was when we come out of Joshua Tree.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, so it was the Aprilia he was on. And this trip here, though, he wasn't on an Aprilia. He was on maybe he was on the Aprilia. It was when we had that long stop for construction. I mean, so long that we were actually glad we had the Harley boom systems with us because we were jamming to tunes and bottled up for like 35, 40 minutes. Oh. And then we get clear of traffic. And again, I'm going to start the story because it's my view that's kind of funny, but it's your finish that's funnier. So we get rolling again. Now we're on brand new, pristine, never traveled on pavement.
All right. So,
absolutely gorgeous.
I will take over the story from here.
I got to tell you what I saw.
And no, let me get up to that point. Let me get up to that point. So we're sitting in traffic and like Chris said, it was a good 30 minutes. I mean, the bikes are off. We're sitting on our kickstand, sort of leaning back, stretching out. And there's 2 lanes. There's, you know, the group of bikes. And there's a lane next to us with some cars on there. It was like this. We were up near the front. And there was, it was like a blue
Chevy Impala.
You know, the windows were all darked out with some, it looked like, you know, like a car club sticker on the back. And like an old station wagon, you know, right after that, just just regular cars. And what it was they were doing construction in the town. It was a very small town, and they had the lane closed. So it was one-way traffic. So we had to wait for the follow-me truck. Well, the follow-me truck comes, and the cars that were next to us, like the Impala and the station wagon, they got in front of us, and then all the bikes fell in behind that. We did the follow-me truck through town, and when we got out of the backside of the town, I look up, and the sign said, passing lane ahead. I was like, perfect, because I don't want to be behind these freaking cars. I got the guys behind me. Let's roll. We've been sitting here for 30 minutes. It's getting dark, and we've got some distance to cover until our hotel. So we hit the two lanes, and the Impala and the other car are staying on the right lane, and I go to pass them. And as I go to pass them, and I look in my mirror to come over, and the Impala is sort of keeping up with me. I'm thinking to myself, I'm clipping along pretty good. I mean, the speed limit's 55. I'm doing 70. This guy's, you know, and I'm from Florida. And the first thing I thought of is, oh, this guy's an asshole. He wants to race me. Not a problem. I downshift too, and I'm off to the races. And I'm giving that bike all she's got. And I'm keep looking in that mirror, and that car is still sticking behind me. And I'm leaning in. I'm scraping the pegs. I mean, Chris, you were behind me. What did the bike look like?
Let me tell you. So we go rolling by this Impala, James, Yvonne, me, and I don't know who else was behind us. Ty was with us. Borland was with us. And the young kid was with us. And,
no, the order is important, but we'll get to that.
No, that's what I'm telling you. It was you, then Yvonne, then me, then it was Ty, then it was Borland, and then it was Junior, the kid on the small bike. We get through the town, the lead truck pulls away and gives us a wave to go, and traffic clears up, and we start rolling, and we pass the station wagon, we pass the Impala, and we're starting to stretch our legs out a little bit. And there's this, I want to say maybe 3/4 of a mile. It's real straight, and it's got just a little subtle dip, and then it goes up a hill and makes a sweeper to the right, kind of up and to the right. Now, I noticed the car that we had just passed is now passing me. And I look over, and I realize that he's got these really weird lights, like up around where the visor goes.
Mm.
You know, and they're kind of like strobe lights. And I go, that's a cop. So needless to say, I let him fly right on by.
Well, I didn't.
I tried to reach you on the Senna, and you know, the distance on those aren't bad, but all I got was. So I reached out to Yvonne and I'm thinking, oh man. So here goes the cop past me, flies past Yvonne. Now he's getting up to speed. I saw you do this. No kidding. You look to your right, and then you lean forward. And I was like, oh, my God. James doesn't realize he's a cop. He thinks this guy's trying to race. Yep. And I see you disappear over the dip, come up into my view again. And by now, I'm starting to get speed. I'm behind the cop, so why not? So I'm cruising. So Yvonne and I are like almost like, you know, together, we're going flying. And I see you come a cheek off the seat and lean that bike over hard. And I'm thinking, James really is thinking this guy's chasing, you know, racing him. And he's not letting off the throttle. And then you disappear out of sight. Cop disappears out of sight.
Yep.
2 miles down the road, come around a little bend, pop up over the hill. And in the middle of the road, between the two lanes, is this Chevy Impala. And an arm out the window pointing, pull over.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way that he had us set, the pullover was there was a little gravel dig out on the right and like a little road intersection there. And then this side of that little road is where I decided to hammer down and start waving guys over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Yvonne pulls over, Ty pulls over, Borland pulls over. Junior can't get stopped. He didn't realize what's going on. He goes whizzing by all of us and pulls up next to you.
Yeah. So I didn't realize it was a police officer, Arizona's finest and great, great police officers within that state. I'm not going to take anything away from them. They can drive. They can drive really good, but they're sore losers and they turn their lights on when they lose. All I got to say. I cuss a lot and I'm trying not to cuss on this, but when I know I had to be doing 110, 120, easy.
Oh, dude, I was doing 130. Yvonne and I were doing a buck 30 trying to get caught up to you guys.
When I looked in the mirror and I realized that this was an officer of the law and his lights were on and he was behind me, I just said, oh, fuck. And that was really it. That's the, I apologize for the language for everybody, but that's really, I just knew I was done. So I pull over, he stays in the street and he's pulling people over. He gets everybody to stop. He gets out of his car and he comes over to me and he's plain clothes. He's wearing, you know, like these tight, you know, bedazzled jeans with this muscle shirt that looks like a rock concert t-shirt, but he's got an official badge and that some bitch hanging around his neck and he's got a gun.
And a gun.
and he starts to yell it at me saying, do you know what happens when you're going to jail? You, sir, are going to jail tonight. 20 miles over the speed limit. Do you know how fast you were going? And it was at that point that I knew that he had no clue how fast we were going. And I said, 55? Woo! That was the wrong thing to say.
Guess again.
He didn't like that answer. Oh, yeah. Man. We ended up spending.
Wait. You got to wait. Okay. You're missing a big piece of this.
I'm missing a big piece of this.
Here's a big piece. Where I'm standing, I'm on the other side of this little lane. There's like a T intersection. I'm on one side of the little dirt road. James is on the other side. You could see the cop flailing his hands around, and you could see James being very courteous, you know, and he's nodding his head. And all of a sudden, the kid says, I don't know what he says. I had to ask James.
Oh, the young guy. Yeah, the young guy that was riding with us that was sort of new to the group.
He points.
So, yeah, the police officer.
He starts waving.
Yeah, the police officer says to me, y'all are going to jail. You all are going to jail. You are all doing 20 miles over the speed limit. That is automatic. You are going to jail.
That's when he started cleaning the back seat out.
And I'm telling the police officer, I was like, listen, I thought you were just racing me and it was a danger to me and I was trying to stay away from you. I'm sorry. I did not know. I said, take me to jail. You want to take somebody to take me to jail? I was leading this. Take me. And he goes, no. 1, 2, and 3. And he looked at the kid and he goes, he pointed at me. He goes, you're number one. He pointed at the kid. He goes, you're number two. And whoever number three was, yeah, the three of you are going to jail. And the kid looked at the cop. He goes, oh, no, no. That's Chris and Yvonne. Chris and Yvonne were number two and number three.
By name, not just pointing at us. By name. Now, where I'm standing, all I see is the guy waving and flailing around. And Yvonne says, he's looking your way because I turned my back to you guys. Because if I can't see it, it's not real to me.
Yeah, and so and Ty's over there telling you, hey, you think he'd get pissed off if I took a picture of this right now?
He did ask me that.
I know he did.
I said, you got to get a picture of this. James might be getting cuffed and stuffed, man. So get the camera rolling. So anyway, Yvonne goes and he goes, hey, they're waving us over. I said, they're not waving me over. They're waving you over. They ain't waving me over. I can't see anybody. Shit. And Yvonne is scared. So he goes walking over there. 5 minutes later, he comes walking back. I said, what's going on? And he starts taking the plate off. Now, for those of you that haven't rented bikes much, they keep the registration and stuff underneath the plate. So you take the screws out, you take the license plate out, and there's a little holder. It's got the registration stuff in a little black. So anyway, the officer said he wants to see the guy that was first and the guy that was second and the guy that was third. And I was like, wait, he doesn't know which one of us was first, second, or third?
He knew who was first.
He knows who was in the front. And I go, if he doesn't know.
One that won, the winner.
Why would we volunteer that information? He goes, well, it turns out Dan told him. And he didn't just tell him like that blue bike or that red bike. He said Chris and Yvonne by name. So that's why the cop's waving and flailing his arms. I'm like, well, he's going to have to come get me because I didn't see this, Yvonne. And I'm going to stand right here until he comes and gets me. And if he can't identify 1, 2, and 3, he's not getting anybody. So Yvonne goes walking back over. And the next thing I know, I see the back door fly open. The guy's still moving at a high rate of speed with his flailing.
Yeah, he starts moving all of his crap that was in the back seat into the trunk.
Yeah, I'm going to see how many guys I can stuff in my car. Yep. And then I see everything stop. I see, oh, what is this? He's answering his phone. So now we're back to watching. He's answering the phone. And then all of a sudden, I see a slow hand drop. I see a little bit of conversation. Still can't hear what's being said. And he gets in the car and he drives away.
Well, no, it wasn't that fast. So he was trying to call a paddy wagon. And a tow truck. Because we were out in the little town, there wasn't anything there. So it was going to be a while for things to get there. So he calmed down after losing that race, sore loser. He finally calmed down and we started chit-chatting. And he's like, well, you know, I've got a BMW 1600. I was like, I got a 1600. So we started talking about bikes, going back and forth on that. You know, talking about work, I said, yeah, I'm out here for work. If I go to jail, I ain't gonna be good. I think he took a little sympathy on that. And I explained it to him. I was like, listen, I really thought that you were, a danger to me. And I was trying to get away from you. Honestly did. Cause I did not see your flashing lights. And he wanted to get home. He was off duty. He wanted to get home. So he proceeded to say, if I hear of you guys speeding again, I am coming out and I am making sure that each and every one of you goes to jail tonight. You know, if you really want to go fast, you're going to ride down this road about 5 miles. You're going to see this water tower. There's always a police car there. About a mile past that, it's open straight. There's nobody there. Knock yourself out. Go as fast as you want. All right, I'm out of here. Y'all have a good night. Got in his car and left. I went behind the bush. I had to clean out my drawers because, that was the pucker factor and the excavation afterwards was just, but yeah, we made it back to the hotel and that kid rode up beside me and he's like, man, that was close. And I grabbed him and put him up against the wall. I was like, you are a piece of shit. So you don't give up people's names. You don't do that. He's like, well, I'm not going to jail for any of you. I don't know you. I'm not going to jail for you. I'm like, then you ain't going to ride with us anymore. And that was that. And I haven't talked to that kid since. Yeah. I think that's our time. I think we're over our time.
It was a good trip though. And listen, just before we close, we're not condoning going out and being hellions on the road. We were in the desert that we passed 3 cars in 100 miles. I mean, it was, so safety first. Don't speed. And if you're going to race, win. I mean, that's the motto for today.
It is. Yeah. And my hat's off to the boys in blue. They do have a tough job. And,
no doubt.
I
mad respect for those guys.
Mad respect for them. But if you're going to lose a race, don't pull somebody over. It's just,
Courtesy.
Courtesy.
Yeah. Gentlemen. I'd be honorable. I lost.
And I think he got that, and that's why. All right, Chris, you have a good one. I'll talk to you next week. Ride her out.
I'll catch you in the next fuel stop. Ride her out.